Okay, well, we're doing a bit of a series break this week, I suppose. I want to cast a little bit of vision. I want to talk a little bit about who we are, where we're going. And I want us to not even cast a little bit of vision, but really to lift up our vision and to lift it up high to see what God can do through us. And I was it's really been born out of a prayer that Kira and I have been praying over the past few weeks. So we've got the slide there. Yes, there we do. Two hands praying. The apostolic prayer. We've all heard of the Lord's Prayer. And the apostles pray in different places. But there's a prayer that Kira and I have been praying every day at a certain time. And I'm going to be challenging all of us to be doing that. But it's I like to think of it as an apostolic prayer. And so I'm going to read the scripture where it's found and see if you can see it in there. And it's from Matthew chapter 9. And it says, so just to give a little bit of background, Jesus has been going everywhere throughout Judea and Galilee, and he's been delivering people who have been demon-possessed. He's been healing people. He's been challenged by the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, the Bible scholars of the day, and he's kind of saying, you know, he's been challenged by them, and he's answering all their challenges. And then he's coming to Jerusalem, and he says this. In verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So, in this passage of scripture is an apostolic prayer, and it's found in verse 38. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send. When we ask God for things, we pray to him, right? When we ask God to send, we're praying an apostolic prayer. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The word send in Greek is apostolo. You know, sometimes we think of apostles as super Christians, you know. In some parts of the Christian world, apostles have fancy suits and lots of bling. But you know, maybe that's a bit of a caricature of an apostle. But we think of the apostle Paul, we think of apostle Peter, the first disciples as apostles, these guys who do mighty miracles and see whole cities converted, and that's what we think apostles are. Well, it really just comes from the Greek word to send. An apostolic prayer is to pray that God would send workers, send people. And this is a prayer that Kira and I have been praying. But I just want to break down this scripture really quickly first before we move in. I don't know if you noticed in verse 35, it says that Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching this in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. So Jesus is all about the message of the kingdom. The gospel is a kingdom message. And he doesn't just talk about it in words and say, this is what the kingdom is like. He demonstrates it with power. Really, when I think about the kingdom of God isn't just an entity. It's a new reality. It's a new entity that's breaking into our world. There's all sorts of kingdoms in the world, right? There's also the kingdom of God, which is breaking in. There's a new power. There's a new reality that is working. And in this reality, there's a reality in the kingdom of God that is greater than a medical diagnosis, right? So even we could be diagnosed by the reality that's around us, our normal reality of time and space, and we can be told that, you know, we've got such and such a condition and we'll never be able to do so and so. But then God's reality is different and takes precedence, supersedes all other realities. God's reality, God's kingdom, is able to come in with power and to bring healing to all diseases. So Jesus talks about a message. He talks about the values of the kingdom, the ethics, how power is dealt with in the kingdom, how money is dealt with in this new kingdom, this new reality. But he also demonstrates that it supersedes all other realities. He demonstrates in word and power. He says a message and he sets people free. The good news of the kingdom of God, God's new reality must come with God's power. And I spend a bit of time on that because that's the same for us, right? What Jesus has done here, we can do as well. You can do this. You can be someone who talks about God's kingdom breaking in. You can also be someone who demonstrates God's power breaking in. Not just an intellectual idea, but a reality that supersedes all others. Such that sickness, disease, an oppression, a disability can be impacted by God. I mean, I know I've been healed by God. I know that God's healed me. Can anyone else testify to that? I mean, put up your hand if you believe that God has healed you at some certain point in time. I've prayed for so many different people. I don't see them all healed, but I do see people get healed. That's the message that we live out. That's the manifestation of God's kingdom. So Jesus, in this passage, communicated truth, the truth of his kingdom, in word and action. Next, we read that Jesus, he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. Jesus saw the crowds. You know, sometimes it can be really easy to not see people. Even though we live in a world-class city and there's people all around us and we just don't see them. You know, what I love about this is that Jesus saw people. He saw individuals. And not only did he see them, he didn't. Sometimes we see people. To be honest, sometimes when I see people is when I'm judging them. Oh, look at that person driving like that. Oh, look at this person. Look at the clothes they're wearing. Why would you wear purple and red like that? That's disgusting. You know, sometimes when I see people, I look to judge, right? But when Jesus, he saw people, that's the first thing. Amongst all the crowds, he saw the people in the crowds. And then what did he do? He had compassion on them. He wasn't planning an agenda. You know, Jesus, he wasn't about seeking success and he thought, oh, here's more people to add to my followers. I've got 12 at the moment. I really need a lot more. And then I can take on the power of the Roman Empire. He wasn't seeking praise. He wasn't seeking money or power. And when he saw people, he cared for them. He had compassion, empathy. And so we can do the same, right? If we are called Christians and we're called to follow Jesus and to love him, I've been sharing about what it means to be a Christian. At the very core of my identity as a Christian, it's not that I go to church. It's nothing like that. Very core of my identity as a Christian is I follow Jesus. It's not even about this event or anything like that. Before I'm a father, and I am a father, before even that a husband, I'm a husband, before any other label you can put on me, Australian, half Aussie, half Chinese, whatever you want to label me, before all those labels is, I'm a follower of Jesus. And because I follow him, I can do what he's done. He empowers me to do this. He empowers me to see people. And so sometimes what I do is I'll just sit down and I'll just look at people and I'll wonder about them. And I'll go, I wonder what they're going through. I wonder what's happening in their life. God, help me not to be judgmental. Who knows that the world has had enough of judgmental Christians? You know? Help me not to be judgmental, but help me to see them, to have compassion, to love people, to serve them. Jesus saw the crowds, and he had compassion, and we can do the same. And Jesus, he invited us to pray apostolically. He invited us to pray the apostolic prayer. He says, ask the Lord the harvest, ask God the Father, ask him to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus invites us to ask God the Father to send out workers. That word send out is from the Greek apostello, where we get the word apostle. This is the apostolic prayer. So Ken, why are you sharing all this? So what? Well, the apostolic prayer leads to apostolic destiny. And I believe that that's what God has for us. God is calling us to be an apostolic church. And I'm excited about that. And I've been praying to that. I can see what God's doing. I can see what God is doing in our midst, in your lives, in people like Everett and Sheila who are leading in the north. You know, I was out in the west yesterday doing engaged training out there with at Audi and Ica's house and with Juliet and Ivan. And Ivan was messaging me all night with all his ideas and getting excited. I can see what God's doing. And the reason I want us to look at this passage of scripture and to dive into it just a little bit deeper is because if we will be a people who will pray this apostolic prayer, then we will be a church that inherits an apostolic destiny. So, Kieran and I have been praying this prayer. Every day we set an alarm on our phone at 9:38. Can you guess why? It's from Matthew 9 verse 38. Very simple. And also, you know, in the morning, you're not too busy, all that kind of stuff. So an alarm goes off. And if we know we're not going to be together at 9:38, what we actually do is we spend, you know, before that. So it's not like we only pray that time. But every day, we've been praying and saying, God, send laborers into your harvest field. Kieran and I have been praying every day. The alarm goes off at 9:38. Sometimes we pray earlier, but we ask God to send laborers into his harvest field. We pray this apostolic prayer. Apostolic simply means someone who's been sent. We're asking God to send. We pray because it's an invitation. And I love doing it because it's an invitation to partner with God. You know, it's his harvest field. Melbourne is his harvest field. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, the devil has sway over Melbourne and he's got strongholds in Melbourne and, you know, Crown Casino is evil and the MCG is a big idol place where people go and they worship men kicking a leather football and all that kind of stuff. It's like, and we can think, oh, you know, the Melbourne belongs to the devil. No, this is God's harvest field. Melbourne belongs to God. It's his harvest field. It's his harvest field. It's his harvest. The people in Melbourne belong to God. He loves the people of Melbourne. We can look and we can see the people, you know, we can see when we're not just interacting with a cashier at a checkout in a supermarket and thinking, you know, just do your job. We can actually see them and look at them and maybe wonder what's going on in their world and how God can serve them and even say a silent prayer under our breath for them, all that kind of stuff. And we can do that. And as seeing and then showing compassion. But whenever we do that, you know, God does that a billion times more. He sees so much more. He has so much more compassion. This is his city. It's his harvest field. It's his harvest, his people, and it's for his glory. And you know what? When Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field, we get to partner with all of that love. We get to partner with all of that compassion. We get to partner with all of that power. We get to contribute in some tiny, minuscule way to all of the glory that God can derive from seeing a city impacted, his kingdom coming in a mighty and powerful way. So this is one of the reasons Kieran and I have been praying every day at 9:38. We pray because it's an invitation to partner with God. He's doing it. He's the one driving it. It's his agenda. It's his mission. And we're lucky enough to be invited to be a part of it. Wow. You know, if you had the chance to be part of a generation-defining social movement, would you take that chance? You know, where would you be in the civil rights movement in the 1960s in the US? In the southern US, where would you be? Would you be supporting Martin Luther King? If you had that chance to go back there and to support Martin Luther King, would you do that? What about, seeing the breakdown of apartheid in South Africa? Would you want to be a part of that social movement to see that those injustices taken care of and dealt with? Or the People's Revolution in the Philippines in the early 80s, kicking out a dictator? And then would you want to be part, if you had the chance to go back in time and be part of a social movement that changes an entire nation, would you want to be a part of that? Well, maybe you wouldn't, because maybe you're just happy with what you've got and, you know, just going through the motions of life. That's fine. But I think there's something more for us. And as powerful as all those social movements have been, nothing compares to the social movement of the kingdom of God, setting people free from their brokenness, slavery to sin, and the life-giving encounter with the kingdom of God. Nothing. And those are some of the most powerful social movements ever, right? Nothing compares to this social movement that we get to be a part of, which is the breaking in of God's kingdom into humanity. We pray because of the vision God has given us for this church. Why do we pray this apostolic prayer found in Matthew 9, verse 38? Asking the Lord of the harvest, praying to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest field. We pray because of the vision. You know, I have a vision for this church. I have a vision for this church. The leadership has a vision for this church. It's not to grow one big centralized church in the center of the city. It's to build a big network of churches. So we could choose to go to build one big church or to build a big network of churches. And what we're called to do is to build a big network of churches all across the city. That's why last week we didn't meet here. I hope no one turned up here last week because we weren't here. We were spread across the city. We were central. We were in the west, out in Werribee. We were in the north, in Wollert. We were in the east, in Knoxfield. And those, we call that church 246 from Acts chapter 2, verse 46. That's because we're sowing seeds of future church plants. We're not trying to build a big crowd. We're trying to send people out to the four corners and more of Melbourne to realize our apostolic destiny. And so, that's why we do Church 246. That's why we do, that's why we have the 2020 vision. The 2020 vision is that in the East, ably led by Mr. Paul Pallotti and his beautiful wife, Abby, and baby, also contributing powerfully, that there, that Church 246 in the East will go monthly. From August, normally we do it quarterly, but from August, in August, September, October, November, the church 246 will be held monthly, and then we'll reappraise, and then I'm confident that we will go monthly for 2021 in the East. Why do we do that? It's because we're not trying to get people to come to an event. We want to take God's life and His community and His kingdom and His people and the demonstration of His kingdom through miraculous power and people being set free. We want to send that out to where people are. We meet in the city as a concession to the fact that we are spread all across the city. But from this place, we will plant churches all across the city of Melbourne. Our vision is not to grow a big church, it's to grow a big network of churches. That's why we do Church 246, that's why we have the 2020 vision. And I've been sharing with some of the leaders for Vision 2021. We've got a plan for next year. And I'm excited about it. And the leaders I've shared it with are also excited about it. And maybe one day I'll share it with you. That was a joke. Alright. We pray because of the vision God has given us for this church. We pray because God has put on our heart to build a healthy, engaging culture. A healthy, engaging culture. This is something, do you want to know what the burden is that I carry for every nation in Melbourne? It's that we would be a church that healthily connects with people who don't know Jesus. That love them, that serve them, that go on the journey with them, that takes the effort to do cross-cultural communication well. Because we called every nation that we could have a diverse cross-section of all kinds of different people in this place. People who know a lot about God, people who know nothing about God, people who live on the outside moral lives, people who on the outside live very immoral lives. We want them to be a part of this church because we want to go on the journey. And I want us to be a people, and God's calling us to be a people that will journey with all sorts of different types. There's so many different kinds of people in Melbourne. God's called us to love them all. We pray because God has put in our hearts to build a healthy, engaging culture. We're praying for labourers to be raised up and sent out from here internally. So what Kieran and I pray every morning at 9:38 is we say, God, raise up labourers. This is the apostolic prayer. You're calling us to pray this. And we're praying that you would raise up people that are currently in every nation in Melbourne and that you would raise them up and send them out. Send them out to their workplace. Send them out to their university. Send them out to their neighbours. Raise them up and send them out to connect with people who are just like them. Raise them up and send out to people who are nothing like them. We're praying for labourers to be raised up and sent out. For you, we're praying for you guys to be raised up and sent out. All the while thinking, how can we equip you? How can we empower you to do this? We're praying for God to raise up labourers to send into His harvest field of Melbourne, which belongs to Him, from around the world, from externally. God, raise up people. Raise up people from different parts of the world to come here. Send them from the four corners of the globe to come and to work with us here in this harvest field. Praying for others to come in. Praying for a release of the evangelists. Now, I've talked with some of you already, and I've said that you have an evangelistic gift, and you know who you are. And there's others. I know there are evangelists in this church, people who are just have a special dispensation to connect with people who are, you know, who just love connecting and serving. And we all have a different gift. We're all called to engage with the capacity that we have, but the evangelists have an even extra capacity. And what evangelists particularly do is that they see breakthrough and then they share testimonies of what God's done in their life that encourages all of us to be more evangelistic, more engaging. So we've been praying for a release and an empowering of the evangelists. So if anyone was at the World Conference in 2019 in Orlando, so Pastor Rice Brooks talked about a release of the evangelists. And that's what we're doing. Carloy, you're an evangelist. You know, believing for you to be released. So, as well as others. So we pray for laborers to be raised up and sent out internally, for others to come in. We're praying for a release of the evangelists. And we're putting action to our prayers. You know, Kieran and I, we recognize that if this is what we're praying, we need to lead by example. And we're doing it. We're doing it. So, one of the things that we pray for the campus and campus missionaries. This is literally why we exist. This is why we exist and not, and this is why we exist and why we don't not exist. I don't know if that makes sense. The reason why we are as a church and not just saying, hey, go join some of the other churches that are around is because this sets us apart. This is our distinctive. I know of no other church in Melbourne, and there could be, but I know a lot of churches. I know of no other church in Melbourne that has as a priority the strategic harvest field of the university campuses. There are lots of universities that will have a ministry for young adults and will have a university flavour to that, but to have as a strategic harvest, this is a spiritual deposit that is unique to us in every nation in Melbourne, because we have a vision not just for today or for tomorrow, but for the generations. We want to reach out to the leaders and influencers of society tomorrow, today. If you want to look at what Australia will be like and what we will be thinking and what our philosophies will be and our morality will be in 20 to 30 years' time, look on the campus today. Go to Melbourne University across the road, go to RMIT University just down the road, or Victoria University, or Monash University, or any of the major universities in Victoria, and look at what people believe, and that is what society will believe in 20 to 30 years' time. The educators, the legislators, the business leaders, they're on the campus today. And we, every nation, worldwide, this is our spiritual distinctive deposit. And so Kieran and I, we've been praying for the campus and for campus missionaries. We budget, as a church, we set aside money. Because we're looking to hire a new campus missionary / church planter from around the world. I've talked to people in Africa, I've talked to people in Asia, I've talked to people in North America. I'm saying, send us someone. We've got money, we'll pay them because this is something we believe in. We're setting this aside because this is who we're called to be. If you want to give me your job application, by all means, send me your resume and we'll have a chat. This is what sets up the campus. You know what? I firmly believe this, that if we don't, this is something that God's been speaking to me. He's been speaking to me about building a healthy, engaging culture. He's been speaking to me about impacting the campus. And you know what? If we don't impact the campus, someone else will. And I'm not even talking about other churches. I'm talking about cults. There are active cults on our university campuses that primarily target international students and draw them into their bondage and manipulation. It's the cults understand the significance and the opportunity of the university campus. And here we are. We say that we exist to honour God, church planting, campus ministry, world mission. We say that. But can we do that? I believe we can. You know, I've shared before many times, you're sick of me hearing it, but since 1998, I've been at Melbourne University just praying year after year after year for God to bring breakthrough. The apostolic prayer leads to apostolic identity. I pray this prayer, God, send labourers, send apostello, send labourers into your harvest field. I pray this prayer because we are called to be an apostolic church. This is who we are. You know, I'm the senior pastor. I'm bringing identity to who we are. We are an apostolic church. We are a sending church. We are sending people out. You know, we have so much opportunity. The world is our oyster. Melbourne is our oyster. There's so much that God wants to do through us. And I'm excited by it. Jeff, do you mind getting up and joining me? Thanks, bro. No, we can be, because of Jesus, we can be people who communicate the truth of the kingdom of God in word. Hey, I've got some good news for you. There's a different way to live. There's a new way to be human. There's a true way to be human. There's a new way to do human relationships. There's a new way to do business. There's a new way for everything because there's a new kingdom. There's a new king. We can communicate Jesus' truth of his kingdom, communicate the truth of Jesus' kingdom in word. We can also demonstrate it in action. Because of Jesus, we can see people, really see them, notice them, show compassion to them. Because of Jesus, we can pray this apostolic prayer. He invites us to ask God the Father to send laborers into his harvest field. Why have Kieran and I been praying this prayer? From Matthew 9 verse 38, asking for laborers to be raised up internally, for laborers externally to come and join us, for campus missionaries and church planters to be part of what we're doing here in Melbourne. It's because the apostolic prayer leads to apostolic destiny. That is your destiny in this church. And I want to invite you to join with me in praying this prayer. So, what am I speaking over the church? What identity, what kind of form am I trying to create here that God's put on my heart to see happen with every nation in Melbourne? Well, first of all, I want to remind you, we are called to the campus. And, you know, that doesn't mean that we all have to be, you know, go two by two onto the campus and walk up to people and say, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Can I tell you about him? I'm not talking about that. But can we pray for the university? Can we pray for this strategic harvest field to be impacted? Can we pray for open doors? You know, I was at St. Albans, Victoria University, St. Albans campus. I'm a chaplain at Victoria University. And I went around and I was just walking there and I met someone who I hadn't seen in 10 years. It's kind of like he believes in God, but he's kind of like not quite, you know, not really getting the church, not really plugged in anywhere. But I said, you know what, this is what I'm doing. I want to see people. He's gone through a bunch of stuff and he wants to become a social worker because he's seen how people's lives get messed up and he wants to do something about it. I said, bro, that's awesome. You know, we could work together. We could work together. You're learning about social work. Here I am. I'm a chaplain. Why don't we partner up? And he started to get excited about what God could do. I believe he is a laborer that God's sending to us externally. What am I speaking of? That we're called to the campus. We're not all called to be on the campus, but we're all called to be thinking about it, praying about it, and knowing that if I'm part of every nation in Melbourne, then we believe that we are called to impact this city for generations. And so we are going to go to the strategic harvest field of the university campuses. And we're going to do it because we know that Satan's doing it, the cults are doing it. And there's no other church movement that has this as a specific core of who they are. This is who we are. We're called to the university campus. I mean, hands up if you were impacted for God on the campus. So it's not all of us, right? But there's quite a few of us. It's a significant percentage. You know, I was called by God on the campus. Just a guy who was doing a course he hated. Didn't have any purpose in my life. And I cried out to God, show me a purpose. He said, Ken, I'm calling you to raise an army to impact the campus for me. I've been pursuing that dream for 20 years. And you know what? I'm loving it. I mean, I feel like it is open right up for me, for us. What am I speaking of the church? We're called to the campus. We're called to be missional. We're called to be a missional church. A church on a mission. A church following a king on a mission. All hail King Jesus. We can sing it, and we do. We should sing it. It's powerful. But Jesus is on a mission. And so when we say all hail King Jesus, I hope we're also thinking, and God, Jesus, wherever you want to send me, I will be sent by you. I will go. I will be obedient. I'll be led by you. We are sent. We're called to the campus. We are called to be missional. We're called to be apostolic. Absolutely. sent ones. Not super Christians in fancy suits and lots of gold chains, but people who are just simply sent by God. We are sent to the people in our lives. You have people in your lives, right? You have a sphere of influence. You know people. You're sent to those people. This is what Kira and I have been praying for. We've been praying that you would be sent to the people in your world. Classmates, workmates, neighbors, that God would send you to them. That you would see doors open. Not that we're weird but that natural opportunities would present themselves, and that we would see people and have compassion on them like Jesus did. We are sent to the campus. That's who we are. I'm on the campus. We're looking at bringing in other people to be on the campus. We have students on the campus. Hands up if you're currently a student. You know, we have students on the campus. We're sent to the campus. You know what? We're sent to the nations. You know what I love? You know what I absolutely love about Melbourne and living in Melbourne? We're one of the most multicultural cities in the world. And that rather than just building a big central church, but building a network of churches all across the city, impacting the campus, that literally from this city, the nations can be impacted. In the broader Every Nation world, people pray this prayer, the apostolic prayer, at 9:38, and they pray for campus missionaries to be sent to Europe. Because there's very few campus missionaries in Europe. Europe, which was the continent that God used to reach so much of the world for the gospel. I mean, they didn't do it perfectly, of course. You know, it was all mixed up with colonialism and things like that. But there was, from Europe, sent out the good news of Jesus. And now, the university campuses in Europe are strongholds of secularism and a rejection of God and His kingdom. And I believe that from Melbourne, we can send people to be campus missionaries in Europe. If we will lay hold of our apostolic destiny by praying and living out this apostolic prayer. I want to invite you to join with me to get out your phone and to set an alarm for 9:38. Every day, and that you would pray this simple prayer: God, send out laborers into your harvest. That we would pray for harvesters to be raised up as we build a healthy, engaging culture. You'd raise up laborers from within us. Help us to demonstrate your kingdom through word and action, bringing a message and demonstrating power. Help us to be people who see the crowds and the individuals within the crowds and to have compassion on them, not to judge them. That's the stereotype of what Christians are, right? Christians are judgmental. Well, no. Christians are meant to be compassionate. That's what Jesus wasn't judgmental. He was compassionate. Pray for harvesters to be sent. Literally, I'm emailing bishops in Every Nation Philippines. And we're talking about bringing someone over. We're in the process. We literally have someone who we're planning to come preach in the first week of June. Hopefully he will be released to be able to be a campus missionary / church planter with us. Pray that the right person will come for that. Maybe it's this person, maybe it's someone else. Pray that others would join us. Kira and I, we have so many friends who grew up with us through campus ministry when we were involved in campus ministry, who are looking for churches. You know, I'm on the recruiting warpath at the moment. There are all sorts of people who I know who love what we do. Maybe God's sending them to us. This is literally a prayer God calls us to pray. Pray for a campus missionary church plant. That's what I've been talking about. You know, we're budgeting to be able to bring someone in to do this. Pray for the evangelists to be released. There are evangelists. We're all called to engage, but there are evangelists have a special grace to connect with people, to see breakthrough, and to share testimonies that will encourage all of us. You know what I find interesting about this passage, just as I wrap up? What I find interesting about this passage in, in Matthew chapter 9 is that Jesus calls his disciples to say, God, send out, to say to God the Father, send laborers into your harvest field. That's Matthew 9, at the end of Matthew chapter 9. At the beginning of Matthew chapter 10, guess what happens? Jesus sends out these disciples he's just been talking to. He says to the disciples, you 12, I want you to ask God the Father to send laborers into his harvest field. That's at the end of Matthew chapter 9. At the beginning of Matthew chapter 10, turn the page over. Okay, guys, now I'm sending you out. The prayer that Jesus asked them to pray was answered by them. They prayed that prayer, and then Jesus said, you're the answer to that prayer. So I want you to be praying this at 9:38 every day. God, send laborers into the harvest field and send me. Because an apostolic prayer leads to an apostolic destiny. Really, it's up to you. What do you want to choose? Do you want to choose an apostolic destiny, the impact that that can have, the grace and the healing that that can bring, the life it can infuse into people who are just looking for something to keep them going around us? Or do you want to choose to have a non-apostolic destiny? I mean, that could be all sorts of different things, right? All sorts of different things. But on the other hand, we could choose to receive our apostolic inheritance, our apostolic destiny, and it begins by praying the apostolic prayer. Hear what I'm saying. This is who we are. We are an apostolic church, called to impact this city and the nations in it for God. And if you will join with me, we will have the greatest adventure you could possibly imagine. It won't be easy. In fact, it will be really hard at times. But it's going to be worth it. Worth it all. Whatever sacrifice, whatever inconvenience, whatever frustration, whatever offense that we commit against each other, because that happens because we're human beings. But all that stuff is going to be worth it. I just know that when I look back on how I've lived my life with Jesus and how I've led this church, I'm not going to, at least, I don't know what's going to happen, but at the very least, I'll be able to say to God, God, I gave it my best shot. And I prayed that apostolic prayer, and I believed for an apostolic destiny. So, let me pray for us, and we'll wrap it right up. Thank you, Jesus. I don't deserve an apostolic destiny. I don't. I literally don't. This church doesn't deserve it. None of us deserve this. That's what's so powerful about who you are and what you offer us. I don't deserve the inheritance my parents are giving me, but because I'm their child, I will receive an inheritance from them. Because I'm your child, God, Father in heaven, you give us an inheritance. You give us something powerful. You give us something mighty. You give us something bigger than ourselves and greater than what we've ever dared hope for. Lord, you're wanting to blow our minds out of the rut of thinking that this is just about us. Actually, it's about you and your glory and people who don't know you yet. It's about your kingdom being expressed through invitation and demonstrations of power. And Lord, I pray that you would stir up inside of us something. Maybe just a small seed inside of us. I'm not believing for anything to happen instantaneously, but Lord, sow a seed inside of us that as we start to pray this apostolic prayer, Father God, send laborers into your harvest field. Father God, raise up from within every nation Melbourne laborers who will go out to this city. Father God, bring people externally, laborers to harvest with us in the city of Melbourne to see breakthrough in this place. Father, raise up the evangelists and empower them to encourage all of us and to equip all of us to go to that next level. God, as we pray this apostolic prayer, God, I know that we'll be getting closer step by step. Sometimes two steps forward, maybe one step back. But Lord, we'll be making the progress you're calling us to make, to lay hold of the thing that Jesus lay hold of us for, to lay hold of our destiny in every nation, Melbourne. God, today I've been reminding us about who we are. We are called to the campus. We are called to the nations. We are called to see this city impacted for you. Not to build one big church in the center, but from the center to plant churches all across the city. So that you would be glorified. That your harvest would come in. That you would receive the praises that are due you. All hail, King Jesus. Lord, we love that you've invited us to be part of your mission. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.